Hi, this is Mike Anello from Drupal Easy, and today we have another great interview with Ben Finkley. He is the author of the new book from Pact Publishing titled Drupal 6 Search Engine Optimization. A lot of you who follow the Drupal community probably know a little bit about Ben and Ben's company, Velocci. That's at Velocci.com. Ben's a big SEO guy in the Drupal community, and he put out a book all about SEO. So welcome, Ben.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me on, Michael.
No problem. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into Drupal and just kind of where you're coming from?
Yeah, sure. So, I'm an SEO guy. How did I get into Drupal? I actually started a company in 2001 that was an e-commerce website, and we were doing a whole bunch of stuff with search engine optimization and e-commerce and things like that, simply because I couldn't find a good company to work with. And we did that, basically that's what we did for about 4 years until 2005, when a friend of mine approached me and said, hey, can you help me put my website up and do some search engine marketing for it. And up until that point, anybody that approached me and asked me that kind of would have said, you know, I can point you in that direction, but I don't really have time to help you. But in this case, as a good personal friend, I was like, sure, I'd be happy to give you a hand. And you know, I think I charged him, but it wasn't a couple hundred bucks or something like that. And just started working with WordPress because it was, you know, kind of everybody was saying WordPress was the greatest thing and he wanted a very simple site. So built him a WordPress site and just had a horrible time with it. And then another friend of mine approached me and said, hey, you know, I need help doing some stuff for my website and you helped him. Can you help me? And I was like, oh, you know what? There might be an opportunity here to help other companies get their websites up. And so the second website that we built was with Drupal. And the reason I chose Drupal is because I looked at about five different content management systems. And Drupal was the only one that I opened up the source files. And not being a PHP programmer, I could kind of understand what was going on. It seemed like the code was really, really well written. When I opened up Joomla or Mambo or any of the Nuke CMSs or any of those, it was just a disaster. It was a mess and stuff was going all over the place. And this was kind of the same situation that we'd had because we were using OS Commerce for our website. For our commerce site. And it was just spaghetti code, and it was really expensive to get things installed and upgraded and changed. And I decided, you know what, I'm going to go with whichever one is simplest. It's going to be the easiest to maintain. Well, this was Drupal. I think this was like 4.6 or 4.8.
Yeah, I was actually going to mention, I think that you and I actually started with Drupal about the same time based on...
Is that right?
Yeah, because okay. I checked your... user account. So that was right around the 4.6, 4.7 transition.
Right. So we said, okay, we're going to use the most up to date version. So we grabbed 4.7 beta and that's what we built our first site out of. I didn't know better than to use the beta software. Probably should have built it using the earlier version, but whatever, it worked out and, the site got up and it was good. And really it's just been kind of a snowball from there. It started out pretty slow. We built that site, we built another site a month or two later, and then it kind of started to build and we were building these Drupal sites. Really it's grown from there. And then, kind of our biggest change was in, 2008, when really late 2007, I decided, you know what? I want to get out of building websites and I'm going to focus just on the marketing side of things. So in January of 2008, we stopped taking on any new web development projects and we kind of wrapped everything up by about May. And we changed our name. We were originally known, the original company was SpriSoft and then the development company was SpriDev. And then, so in the Drupal community originally, my username was SpriDev. But in May of last year, we changed the name of the company to Velocci, and stopped even supporting any of the old sites that we developed. And so now we do nothing but search engine marketing, search engine optimization, search engine marketing, social media stuff, basically helping people make the most out of what they've got.
So were you doing SEO stuff before you even got into Drupal?
Yeah, it's a tricky question. I wasn't offering SEO as a service before I found Drupal. It was really right around the same time, but was I an SEO guy first or a Drupal guy first? I was just kind of a guy who knew how to build websites and especially e-commerce using OS Commerce because that's what we had done. And then kind of the SEO kind of went with that. If you're going to make money online, you have to have a great website and you have to have a lot of people see that website. So I don't know. I would say I was probably more of a, I got into SEO earlier, but as we developed, you know, this company, we started using Drupal. We were doing more with Drupal than we were with SEO. And of course that changed. So it's a hard question to answer. I was really a Drupal guy, I think, before I was a full on SEO guy. Cause I guess if you look at it, we really started doing just SEO about a year and a half ago. Although we were offering it as part of our services, but it was only about maybe 40 to 50% of what we did was SEO, before that. So, kind of both at the same time, I guess.
So does Valachi do search engine optimization for clients who aren't using Drupal, or are you guys pretty much a Drupal company?
We do SEO for clients that are not Drupal, but we don't really like it. What we've decided to do is focus all of our marketing on the Drupal community, which what that means is, I don't try and advertise our company in the local Austin market. I don't go to, events where there are just generally people who need search engine optimization services. I use all of our marketing budget and all of the time that we put into it. I use to support the Drupal community. I mean, if you go to our website, I mean, it has Drupal all over the front page of our website. We're really very specific about, hey, this is our chosen platform. This is where we play. We're really the best in the world at this. It happens that people come to us and they're not Drupal, users. But what tends to happen is that within about 6 to 8 months, we've convinced them, hey, you know what? You need to upgrade your site to Drupal because there's a lot of this SEO stuff that we can't do very well on your current platform. So what that means is while they're on their current platform, hey, we need a good relationship with your webmaster. We need to be able to ask them to make these changes and be very specific about what those changes are and why we're doing them. But we can't help you implement them. We really need to go to whoever built the site for you to get those changes done. And what that often means is that those changes just don't get done. So what we then say is, hey, you know what? If you were on Drupal, you'd probably spend about the same amount of money that it costs you to do all these changes, and you'd be on this great platform that moving forward would give you a really great rank in the search engines and is easy to keep maintained. So yeah, we definitely take on, it's almost like we're Drupal missionaries with those.
Yeah. I often, you know, with my clients, I often use the word sustainability when it comes to their website.
Absolutely.
And that's one thing that Drupal really, really has over, you know, any other system that I've used.
Yeah.
So
it's the last web. We tell them it's the last website they'll ever have to build.
Oh yeah, that's a good line as well. I might steal that from you.
But you might guess.
All right. So hey, let's get to the book.
Sure.
Just published, I believe, last month. I think is what the
about 1 month ago was when the first copy, physical copies hit the shelves.
So, you know, we do have a big percentage of our listeners who are at the beginner stage of Drupal. Why don't you give me the elevator pitch of what is search engine optimization?
Okay. For the book or for the search engine optimization in general?
No, in general.
In general. Okay. Well, search engine optimization is really about being very clear to both the search engines and your visitors what your website is all about. My belief is that search engine optimization is not about tricking the search engines. It's not about doing some crazy thing that's going to make you show up higher than other people. It's really about making sure the search engines have a perfect understanding of what your website's all about. And then you we take it to the next level, which is to say you've got to communicate that clearly to your visitors as well. So I'm fond of saying you have to have two things to make money online. You have to have a website that is just awesome and sells really well, and you have to have a lot of people visiting that website. If you have one or the other, you're not going to make any money. So search engine optimization is really about that, hitting both of those aspects, building you a great website that sells well to your visitors, and then getting the search engines to know that you exist, to know what you're all about, so that they'll send those visitors to your site.
Yeah, and I'm always amazed that, you know, every now and then I'll see statistics online about how much a high Google rank will do for a website. You know, whether or not you're on, if you're listed number 15 on search results,
sure,
or number 2, what a just absolutely huge difference in the amount of traffic that
you
make.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and what's funny is that what a lot of people don't realize is that the difference between number 2 and number 1 is threefold.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's one I haven't heard yet.
Yep. So you'll get 3 times the traffic being the number 1 result than you will being the number 2 result. And then once you drop off the first page, all of the traffic from result number 11, which is the first result on the second page, all the way down to however many results there are, in aggregate will get approximately 1% of the total searches on that term in the search engines. So 99% of the traffic is going to go to the first page. And of that traffic, half of it goes to the very first item. Number 2 only gets maybe 11 or 12% click-through rate. So yeah, it's very, very valuable to be number 1 for a search result. Being top 10 is great, and that can be profitable and generate a lot of traffic, especially if it's a high volume term. But maybe we're getting a little bit more technical than people in this podcast.
No, yeah, that's fascinating. I had no idea it was that it was that much of a drop.
Because one of the frustrating things that we run into is that we get customers who are content with being top 10. So they get their terms to top 10 and they say, okay, we want to add more terms and go after different things. And we're like, we're just getting you to top 10. It's just the first step. You know, we really need to keep working at it so we get you in the number one position. And they don't realize how much traffic they're leaving behind by not continuing to focus on those key terms that are going to drive really meaningful profit generating traffic to their site. So,
wow.
So let's get the word out there.
Absolutely. I mean, a great way to get the word out is via your book. How about that for a segue?
Yes. Awesome. Wow.
So I got to tell you, I read the book, and I was familiar with your SEO checklist module and a lot of the modules that you talk about.
Cool.
But for me personally, the best two parts of this book were the keyword research chapter.
Yep.
And then the increasing the conversion rate.
So chapters 2 and chapter 10.
Yeah, it was like bookends for me because I knew most of the stuff in the middle. And a lot of the stuff in the middle, I don't want to say it's common sense, but after you read it, you go, oh, well, that makes sense. It's kind of like a head smacker.
Sure.
You know? Oh, of course you want the page title to have, you know, some good keywords. You know, why wouldn't you?
Of course.
But keyword research up until, you know, the time where I read that chapter, keyword research was a bit of a black box for me.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was important, but I didn't know the actual process for doing it.
Okay.
And what your book does is it actually goes through, one method of actually doing your keyword research, you know, laying out your spreadsheet and doing all that work. So how much, I guess, when someone goes to increase their SEO on their website, how much time, what percentage of time would you recommend they spend on that keyword research phase? Because that seems like that's the linchpin for everything else that follows.
Yeah. How much time? You know, that you spend the right amount of time. I don't think it's, you got to spend 2 hours on it, or you got to spend 2 days or whatever.
I was thinking more of a percentage. Is it like, is half of the time that you're spending, you know, on SEO keyword research, or is it?
I would say it's, it really varies. In some campaigns, the keywords are so obvious that you know what they are, but you do the keyword research anyway just to make sure that that you got the right ones. In other campaigns, it's not obvious at all, or the market is so enormous for your for your product that you need to spend a lot of time really digging in and following all the rabbit trails that keyword research is going to open up for you. There's a story that, if you don't mind me recounting this, there's a story that I wrote about in chapter two, and this is a true story. And a guy came to us, and he said, we're in the landscaping, business, and, all of our competitors are showing up for landscaping and Austin landscaping and landscaping architect in Austin, things like that. And those are the keywords. It's obvious. That's where we need to be. We've got to go optimize for those terms. And I said, you know what? I still want to do the keyword research. And he said, don't bother. I know that's the right thing. Let's go for it. I was like, okay, no problem. But I had to do the keyword research anyway. I just can't skip the keyword research. It's so important. And so I went and did the keyword research and uncovered this other term that really was getting as much traffic, and it seemed to be good traffic, and there weren't a lot of competitors for it, and the term was landscaper. So instead of Austin landscaping, we were going after Austin landscaper. And so I went back to the client. I said, I know you told me not to do the keyword research, but here's what I found. There's this term called landscaper, and it's getting just as much traffic as landscaping, but it doesn't seem like any of your competitors are there. There's only maybe one or two competitors instead of six or seven. And he did the palm to forehead, and he goes, you know what? That's what our clients call us. They don't call us landscaping architects. They call us landscapers. I need a landscaper. Let's go hire a landscaper to put this tree in or whatever. And these are not small deals. His smallest deal is about $30,000, worth of work that he'd done on these super high end homes. And he'd often get deals for, a pool and a thing for $200,000, $300,000, which is only slightly outside of my budget for landscaping. But this is a big deal. It's important to get these things right. So he said, yeah, that's great. So within just a couple of weeks, we had him top 10 for Austin landscaper. And then we had him number one in just a few weeks more. And then, so we captured about half of the searches for the Austin market. And there were some other, I don't want to oversimplify it, but really those were the main two terms. But then we added on the other term, landscaping, Austin landscaping, and we started battling to get him top rank for that and got him in the top 10. So by doing the keyword research and really digging in and finding those really hidden gems, in the keyword inventory, we were able to, very quickly show him a positive ROI. So that's one of the, and how long did that take us to uncover that? It was an hour, 2 hours. It wasn't a lot of time. But it's so critical, because you're going to spend on a good SEO campaign, you're going to spend 8 months, 12 months, it really depends on how difficult the terms are, but you're going to put in all of this work continuously for such a long period of time that if you get the keywords wrong in the beginning, you're going to arrive and there's no customers there to buy your product. And you're going to end up, you don't have to start completely over, but you're going to end up basically backing up about 3 or 4 months and taking another run at it with new keywords. And we don't, we just don't allow that to happen with our clients, but I don't want to see that happen with somebody who's working on their own website. It's a huge, just opportunity cost alone is enormous. So,
right. Exactly. Hey, so after you do your keyword research, that's where you start getting into the real Drupal part of.
That you say that. My publisher said the same thing too after I turned in chapter two. He sent me a message. He said,
where's all the Drupal?
Start talking about Drupal. It's coming.
Yeah. Well, it was great. The groundwork is laid with the keyword research. And then actually, now that you have these keywords, what do you do with them?
Right.
And surprisingly, in Drupal, there's a heck of a lot of things you can do with them.
Sure.
And I believe you're one of the authors of the SEO checklist module.
Yeah, it was. It was my idea, but I'm not. As I mentioned earlier, I don't know PHP. I don't know what CBS is really. I knew what I wanted. I knew what I wanted it to do, but I've had to find some developers to work on it for me. So. Initially, I had somebody overseas, and they built it, and it was full of a lot of errors and bugs and stuff, and it was just really bad. So I was able to use the Works Co, which is a company near us. It's in Oklahoma City, and they have a bunch of really good developers there, and they helped me come out with a new release that fixed a lot of the bugs. And then more recently, I've been working with Dave Reed, who is a developer who's working on the new XML sitemap module, right, and the Google News sitemap module and the site verification module and just a bunch of other really great SEO related modules. And so I have recently started working with him, and he's committed a whole bunch of changes to what will be eventually a new version of the SEO checklist module, hopefully in the next couple of weeks. And we'll have so it's my idea, and I kind of direct the you know what goes on, but I don't actually touch the code because that would be bad.
So why don't you give us a quick idea of the types of modules that we're talking about when we're talking about SEO and Drupal?
Yeah,
it's kind of a big topic. You know, there's
sure.
You know, there's on page, and then there's off page.
How long is this podcast?
Yeah, exactly.
So on page optimization is really what I focused on with the book. There's a lot of off page stuff that you can do, but since this was specific for Drupal, and the off page stuff is not specific for Drupal, and also there are a lot of great books that have been written about doing link building and off page optimization and social media and all that kind of stuff. So I really wanted to focus in on, look, here's the stuff you need to do to your Drupal site. So most of the stuff you read about in my book is on page, or specific to a Drupal site, you know. Page titles, I think, are the most important thing. I have this little technique that I call the rule of the upper left corner. And when you open a website in your browser window, what shows up in the upper left-hand corner is the most important thing to Google. On some browsers, like the page title will be centered, so I guess you kind of modify and say it might be centered on your browser. But for a lot of browsers, it's left aligned, and it's the page title. And the way, of course, that you take control of your page titles in Drupal is the page title module. So the first thing I recommend is that people, after they've done their keyword research, is that you install the page title module, and it allows you to write very specific page titles. An example would be Drupal by default will use the node title to be the page title, and that's not always the best thing. In fact, it was in, I believe, Boston a year and a half ago, I was just lucky enough to be standing in the right place at the right time and got to go have lunch with Dries. And he said, why would we need to rewrite the page titles? I said, well, you know what? If somebody writes a node that says how to sell real estate in Austin, Texas, that page title is going to be optimized for the phrase how to sell. And really, we want to optimize it for Austin real estate. And so you would go in and rewrite your title tag and have it say Austin real estate, colon or dash, how to sell it or something like that.
Right.
And that would optimize that page. It's great for the search engines because they know what the right keywords are. It's great for your users because if they bookmark it or they see that link somewhere, it's going to be much easier for them to go, oh, this is about Austin real estate. And you know what you need to do to sell real estate in Austin. And so that's kind of I'm not saying write your page title so they're completely different, but do write them in a way that communicates well with the search engines. And Dries got it. He was very quick. He's like, okay, that makes perfect sense. And that's definitely something that's useful. So that's the first thing, page title module.
There you go. So let me ask another question about all these modules. Is there a technique that you use or that some of these modules implement that is kind of a little more abstract, a little bit more difficult for your clients or anybody doing SEO in Drupal to understand? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I was surprised about in the book was the fact that you say that the meta tags are almost worthless.
Well, certainly the keywords meta tag.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I would put right down there with worthless. That's good. I would say the description meta tag is pretty valuable. Not that it gets you to rank higher, but that it gives you more control of what your listing looks like in
exactly.
Google
right.
and the other search engines. And so what that does is it helps you increase your click-through rate on your search on the, so those top 10 listings, if you're ranked in the top 10, you have an opportunity to communicate why somebody should be clicking on your website using the description meta tag.
Right. Right.
So I'd say, you know, it's not that they're all completely useless, but they're, I mean, people really overuse the keywords meta tag. And we really, since we started doing SEO for other companies, we only ever did the keywords tag because what would happen was we would do an SEO on somebody's site and then one of our competitors would cold call them and say, hey, you know, your SEO company didn't even do the most basic SEO. Look, your keywords meta tags are not done. So we'd get a concern call from the client. Hey, how come the keywords meta tag? So it was a communication thing on our part. You know, we didn't tell them that we shouldn't do those or we, you know, so it's kind of our fault in that regard. But, so we finally were just like, all right, fine. It's easy. We're just going to go ahead and drop in some keywords meta tags, even though we know they're not really helping, but it makes customers happy. And fortunately, about a month ago, finally, definitively, Matt Cutts, who is a blogger for Google and talks a lot about how Google's algorithm works, he's kind of the go-between Google and SEO guys like me, he came out with a video that said definitively and for sure Google does not look at the keywords meta tag. Not to say we won't ever look at it in the future, but as of right now, we completely ignore the keywords meta tag. And I was just, you know, hallelujah and did a dance because now I can go to my customers. I can say, Google says they don't care about this. Here's where that says that. And it kind of fixes that perception that, hey, you've got to do this kind of arcane 15-year-old kind of thing, to get your site to rank well in the search engines. So that's one thing. Another thing that I think is one of the most important things that Drupal can do for you that it does beautifully well, but it's kind of difficult to understand, you know, what is this exactly? Why am I doing this? Is the global redirect module. You familiar with that one?
Yes, absolutely.
So, one of the cool things about a content management system is that it's really flexible and it gives you things like clean URLs that you can turn on and it lets you write a good path for your content and using the path module or the path auto module to automate some of that. But the bad thing about a content management system is that you're using basically PHP pages to talk to a database. And databases have to have a very strictly defined query to go pull the information that the user is requesting to show that on the web page. And that query looks something like question mark Q equals node ampersand slash one or something along those lines. It's a very arcane kind of
right.
language.
Not very user-friendly.
I think Dan Brown's going to write a book about it here coming up. So it's like it's this weird non-user friendly kind of thing. And as a matter of fact, it's not even friendly to the search engines. They have a hard time parsing that because every database system that you can use uses a different way of making that same strange query. So in a site like Drupal that has thought about these things, then suddenly you get these what are called clean URLs. By default, they're turned on. And so you'll see that your paths look something like, yourdrupalsite.com/node/1. And that's clean, but it's not search engine friendly. But at least you've gotten rid of the queries and the question marks and the things that really confuse the search engines. And then if you go and you put a clean URL, it might say yourdrupalsite.com/, Michael is awesome. And so you'd have this path that somebody could type in, Michael's awesome, and it would take them to the page that's, you know, pictures of you and all the awesome things that you do. So what we really want to do is we want to make sure that we don't have in our Drupal site any of these old lingering paths, because even though you can go to that path and see the Michael is awesome page, you can also go to yourdrupalsite.com/node/1 and the same content shows up. You could go to yourdrupalsite.com/?q=node/1 and that same content shows up. If you had set your site so that node 1 is the front page of your Drupal site, which a lot of sites do, it's a convenient way to kind of completely control the front page of your site, then when you go to the front page of your website, you're going to see that exact same content. And in fact, that's about four different addresses that you can go to. But one of the nice things that Drupal does to help people find content is they go, you know what, if somebody just puts the path, we're going to show them the right thing. But if they put a slash at the end of the path, we're smart enough to know that they really want this content. So the slash is kind of, it's a little bit meaningless when it's at the end of a Drupal URL, because it's going to redirect you to the proper place. So when you add in that cool thing, then you actually end up with about 8 different places on your website, 8 different URLs that have the exact same content.
And this search engines don't like that.
Search engines are very confused by this because, there's a kind of a misnomer called the duplicate content penalty. And it's not that they're going to like penalize you for having duplicate content on your page. It's that they're confused and they don't know what you want them to do.
Right. Well, it spreads it out across all 8 pages instead of concentrating it on one URL.
Right. So that's exactly it. It spreads out the value of that page that should be probably ranked pretty highly if it's that specific, and it spreads that out across multiple pages, and the search engines just, they're doing the best that they can. Well, there is this really fantastic module. It's called the Global Redirect Module, and as much as I can, I like to mention the people who write these things. The Global Redirect Module, what it does is Nick Thompson, who's a great guy, longtime Drupal developer, wrote this module to take care of that problem. So this big old huge thing that I've been explaining, it's a terrible problem with Drupal. You download and install and enable the Global Redirect module. As a matter of fact, you don't even really need to touch the configuration because the default configurations are just about perfect for any site. And the Global Redirect module does just that. It takes all of those global URLs, all those different styles of writing them and types and everything, and it looks at the path table in Drupal, and if it finds a clean, optimized path in there, it's going to automatically do what's called a 301 redirect. And a 301 redirect is telling the search engines that this content that was on this page, it now has permanently moved to this new location and gives them the, you know, Michael is awesome page.
Right.
And it takes them right there, fixes all of that, all of those issues. And it's kind of arcane. People don't really understand it. Once you install, it's easy to install. And once you've installed it, you can really forget about it. But it's really kind of important to search engine optimization. And it's you know, something that everybody should do, and it's really pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you. I was going to say, you know, if a Drupal site admin only had an hour, what should they do?
Yeah,
you know, and I think you've already answered that. I mean, Global Redirect, like you said, that is, it's dead easy to install.
Sure. Yep.
And like you said, you don't even have to go to the configuration page. The basic configurations are pretty darn good. So between that and page title,
yep.
I mean, that
that's what I tried to do. When I was writing the book, was look, if you're like me, most business books that I read, even most technical books that I read, I get about halfway through. And then I'm either bored or I run out of time or I'm going to come back to it later. But I was like, you know what? If other people are like me and they're going to work their way from page one on through the book, I want them to get the most that they possibly can out of it. And so let's do it in order of the most important stuff. And so, yeah, if you open up the book, chapter one is getting you all kind of set up to do search engine optimization. Chapter two is keyword research. You've got to do keyword research. And then if you already have done that stuff and you're doing the on-page optimization, chapter three, it takes you through page titles, clean URLs, global redirect module. You go to chapter four and you get the headings. And think about it. This is just upper left corner and working your way down the page. And then all the way down, sitemaps and that stuff. And then the last chapters are about content. And one of the things that I did do was I put the conversions chapter at the end, and I'm glad you mentioned it. When we work on a project, I would probably position that right after keyword research. Well, so we do keyword research and then we do the conversion stuff.
But the conversion stuff, that's basically how you know that what you're doing is working.
It's huge. Yeah. And it's one of those things where do what?
Those are your metrics. That's how you know that you're doing your job.
That's it. That's exactly it. We have had cases where clients came to us because they wanted to rank higher in the search engines. We went through our process. We did the conversion stuff that we talk about in chapter 10. And just by getting their site to convert better, they had a positive ROI within a few weeks of hiring us. So in other words, they were making more money than they were spending on our services. And that's the power of conversions. If you have even just a few hundred people a month coming to your site and say you're getting 300 people a month coming to your site and you're getting three leads out of that, well, that's a 3% conversion rate. If I can get your conversion rate to 2%, this is not huge. 2% conversion rate, you're going to get twice as many leads from your website just by doing some on-page changes and kind of measuring what people are doing on your site. I think it's probably the most important thing to an SEO campaign is to make sure that, yeah, if you're going to send people to the site, make sure that it sells really, really well. However, it was kind of, I wanted to get to the Drupal stuff and that conversions, even though there's some Drupal modules that help you do it, it's at the end because it's kind of a little bit outside the scope of search engine optimization to some people. And I wanted to make sure that, you know, you started to get some substance pretty early in the book. But so everybody pay close attention to chapter 10. I think it's really great. And
yeah, they're great. I'm going to tell you, yeah. Chapter 2 and chapter 10, like I said, they are great bookend chapters. This, you know, and chapter 10, I mean, the nice thing you do in that is you go through like a vocabulary test almost, making sure that everybody knows what all the various terms are so that when you start talking about the multivariate testing or the A-B testing, you know, you can use those terms in their proper context and everybody knows what you're talking about.
Well, one of the frustrating things that I always that I always come across in other SEO books that I've read is that they talk about all these terms and all these metrics that you should be measuring, but they really don't talk about too much about the different types of websites. And the fact is, depending on what kind of website that you run, your metrics may be completely different. If you're an advertising driven site, if you own a news website and you want people to look at ads, you're looking at very different metrics than somebody who's trying to sell a product. Selling a product, the metric is pretty easy. How much did I sell? And then there's supporting metrics. You know, how many people came, how much time did they spend on the site, how many dropped shopping carts did I have, things like that. But it's a very different metric than somebody who's like, hey, I just want somebody to make one more click and look at one more ad. If I can do that, on average, people look at 3 pages on my site. If I can get that to 4 pages, then I've, you know, increased my revenues by 40%. You know, that's huge. That's huge. So we talk about the different metrics. The other thing is paths to conversion. Did you get a chance to take a look at those?
Paths to conversion.
So there's three little charts that talk about your users and kind of what the mental process is.
Oh, right. Yes. Yep.
Page 213 is the first one. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like it's a flow chart of this is what somebody mentally does when they're on a website. And it kind of goes through. And I like the ad-driven site path to conversion. It's pretty simple on page 215. And somebody goes into the site, they ask themselves, am I in the right place? Yes or no? And if they think to themselves, no, this is not really the right place, bam, they're gone. They leave the site. If they say, yes, I am in the right place, they go to the next question, which is there more here that's worth my time? And of course, if they say no, they're gone. But if they say yes, then they visit another page, and that's success for a ad-driven site. So if they visit another page, bam, successful, and then they loop back around up to that question again. Is there more here that is worth my time? And they just keep asking them after every page, they ask them themselves again and again and again, is there more here that is worth me seeing? Is there more here that I should visit and read about? And so it becomes very important to answer that question as quickly as possible. So there's some great modules like More Like This, which is a module that uses category data to show related content. Related to the it's on the tip of my tongue. The
Apache Solr and Facets.
Yes, Apache Solr does that too. But what I wrote about in the book was OpenCalais. So OpenCalais has a module. There's that, and Apache Solr does a great job of that too. So, but Apache Solr in a way does it in a little bit better because it'll actually search through your content and find those keywords and show content that's related.
Yeah, it's not relying only on taxonomy.
Right, it's not relying on taxonomy. OpenCalais is helpful because it does the same thing. It searches through your content and creates these kind of structured taxonomies. So it's you kind of have a little bit more control when you're using OpenCalais, but because you can always go in and change your taxonomies. But you know, it just kind of depends. I think if you're maybe a news-driven website, OpenCalais is probably the way to go. If you're using more of like content, like products, or you know, if you're a lead generation site or something, it may be better to install the Apache Solr.
Right.
And I use Aqueous. You know, it's very they have it set up. It's very easy when you subscribe to even the lowest level of Acquia. You get Apache Solr installed on your site as part of their service, and they keep your index up to date and all that kind of good stuff. So I find it very easy, and it's just a few $100 a year. So
yeah, going back to that, to the path of the paths of conversion, that first diagram you have is that diagram alone is a great testament to usability testing.
Sure.
Because it shows you all of the various ways that the user can get frustrated and leave your site if your site is not being nice. And that alone, I mean, you know, I would imagine that if you show something like that to one of your clients and say, look at all these possible ways that things can go wrong and someone's going to leave your site, as opposed to the one way that they can, that, you know, well, where you'll get paid. All these little bits and pieces need to be tested. There needs to be some iterations, and it's probably a very good selling tool to create something like this for your client.
Yeah, and actually, one of the things that I wanted to do that I just couldn't figure a good way to get it into the book without really, it got too big, and so I had to cut it. Was I wanted to take these paths of conversion and then put blanks next to the decision points. And show people how to tie their Google Analytics metrics and their goals that they set up.
Oh, okay.
Tie those into those decision points so that you can pull up a Google Analytics goal chart and you can see exactly what percentages of people decided, oh, I'm frustrated, I'm leaving the site, or there's no more for me here, I'm leaving the site, and where those events happen on your site. And by understanding those, you can go in and fix those pages and therefore increase the happiness of your visitor and your conversion rate by fixing those. It became, I mean, I probably wrote about 10 pages on just how to get that stuff done. And I was not even close to halfway done with it. And I was like, you know what? I got a deadline. I gotta go a different direction. So, maybe that's in the second revision of the book. We actually explore that a little bit more and give people another chapter on how to apply that to your analytics.
Exactly. All right. So let me ask you a couple more, just a couple quick questions and we'll wrap this up.
Cool.
Drupal 7 and SEO. What's changing? What's getting better? Is anything moving into core, or, I mean, what's kind of the outlook for SEO and Drupal 7?
Sure. So there's, this is a question that I get a lot, and unfortunately, it's one of the hardest ones to answer because until everything's done, you don't know what's going to stick and what's not, and you know, and that kind of stuff happens, and that's okay, that's cool. But I think the thing to remember is that all of the things that are important in Drupal 6 are still important in Drupal 7 as far as the search engines go. So whether something is the same or whether it's changed, you still need to pay attention to your title tags, to your paths, to your, you know, redirects, to all the things that we talked about here today. You still are going to have to pay attention to those in Drupal 7. Now, the thing about Drupal is that, and, you know, the whole reason we call it core is that it is core to every website that uses Drupal. right? So every website has nodes, every website has content, every website has users. I mean, these are the core things, and they have left out all of the extra things that only some of the websites use. And frankly, a lot of the SEO stuff that we talk about that's so important to you and me, librarians could care less about it. Nonprofits don't really care. They should, but they don't really care about SEOing their site. What I'm trying to say is that when Drupal 7 comes out, if I'm concerned about SEO, I'm not necessarily jumping on the Drupal 7 bandwagon until all the modules that allow me to do great SEO have been updated to work with Drupal 7. So Drupal 7 is exciting. It brings a lot. We will definitely be moving to Drupal 7 when those modules are there. And a lot of them have said, hey, the day Drupal 7 is released, my module is going to be released too. And that's awesome. But there are a lot of them that, there are a lot of modules that it may take them a few months to get that up and running. So, okay, so second part of your question, what cool things are they including in core? So the, I believe the canonical tag is getting moved into core, which in Drupal, if you're using the global redirect module, I would say that 99% of sites don't even need to think about the canonical tag. Right. There are some business cases where, yes, so the canonical tag, what is the canonical tag?
you're asking and answering all my questions. This is
yes,
great.
I'm sorry, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, go. No, I was going to ask you that exact thing.
So the canonical tag is a tag that Google came up with that, because basically people were needing to put duplicate content on their site for their users. So say you have a price list and you wanted to put your price list, have a link in the section that's over on the the contact us page area, and it's got to have a certain URL to sit over there. And then you want to have a price list that's sitting over in the part of your website that's your marketing side that talks about the products and things. Well, it's exact same content, and you want to have it in two different places. Or maybe a better example would be like a spec sheet, and you want it to sit on different places on your website. But that's duplicate content, and you want it because that's, you have a business reason that you want to have that duplicate content. So the canonical tag will tell Google, hey, you know what? I know this content is on here twice. We did it on purpose. And this one over here is the most important one. So deprecate the other one. And this is the one that we want you to pay attention to, even though they're both on here twice. That's what the canonical tag does. The global redirect module takes care of that for most issues that people with Drupal sites have. Most people don't need to have the same content on their site more than once. But if you do, the canonical tag is there to help you communicate with the search engines. Right. Okay.
How about
the explanation? That's now supposedly in Drupal 7 is going to be a core thing that you can tag a piece of content with a canonical redirect.
So another big thing that just made it into Drupal 7 just about a week ago, I would say, is RDFA.
Uh-huh.
And I know that will change, how search engines are, looking at people's sites. So how will that affect SEO?
Okay. So there's this whole concept, some people are calling it Web 3.0. But it's basically the idea that, your site is going to communicate data with other computers and other websites automatically without your intervention whatsoever. And RDF is a step in that process that basically it allows you to tag the content on your site in such a way that it communicates to the search engines, hey, this is this kind of content or that kind of content, like your contact information for your company, your company's address and phone number and things like that. Well, imagine if you went to a site and you were like, you know what, this is a company that I want to do business with, and there was a link that you could click and it would automatically save all of that company's contact information into your address book, into Outlook or address book on your Mac. Well, that's really cool. That's really helpful. And that helps your users. It helps the search engines because search engines want to have all kinds of local data that they use to show information on your site, about your site. And it allows them to grab that data without any question of, is this really the address, or am I confused and this is just the address of our Christmas party or something that I found? You know, right. So it really helps you refine the communication that you have with your with Google, and that's awesome.
Do you think it will? Because you know, with RDFA in core, everything now could possibly be tagged with RDFA. I mean, do you think that it's possible that people's sites, once they redeploy on Drupal 7 or migrate from Drupal 6 to Drupal 7, that could affect their search engine rankings immediately, either moving up or down, hopefully not down, hopefully up. But do you think out of the box with RDF, you know, with all of their content now suddenly tagged with RDF, Google will look at their page and say, oh, well, that's, you know, a lot has changed there. We have to kind of shuffle things around now.
That is an excellent question. And I don't know the answer
yet.
We're going to find out. But here's I get the question, probably second most asked question that I get is, why is Drupal better than insert other, you know, content management system here? You know, why is Drupal better than WordPress? Why is Drupal better than Joomla for SEO? And this is one of the reasons. I mean, this is a really compelling reason that Drupal is better than any other content management system that you can use for your search engine optimization, is that it is going to be on the forefront of these micro formats. And it's going to be allow you to pass information to the search engines that it takes a lot of work and jump through a lot of hoops to make these other content management systems do, and Drupal just does it out of the box. And so will that help? So the situations that I think that's really going to help are local searches. So if I go to the search engines and I do a search, they have shown the tendency to give priority to websites and to companies that are local to me. And RDF is going to be a way that you can communicate, hey, I am local to this person who's searching. Also the content itself. Now, the thing that I worry about is that this is going to provide a short-term benefit until a bunch of people figure it out, and then they're going to start abusing it just like they did with the keywords meta tag. Right. And if everybody is abusing it, then I think we stand a chance of Google saying, well, it was a good idea, but we can't really count on that information to be quality, so we're just going to discount it. But in the short term, until that happens, yeah, absolutely. And let's communicate that stuff to Google. And if you get a you know, short term advantage, then that's okay. I mean, it's a clear white hat, clean way of communicating with the search engines that they approve that may give you an advantage. I think that's huge for the Drupal, for the argument that Drupal is the best platform on the planet for SEO.
All right. Well, I mean, we've gone longer than I thought either of us thought we would, probably. Anything else about the book you want to mention real quick before I wrap things up?
Actually, you know what? I want to make sure that it's clear that this book was written for site owners and administrators. It's not a book that was written for developers. I'm not a developer. I can't even come close to fathoming the stuff that you guys go through and to build a fantastic site and some really cool stuff. But this, I really tried to write the book so that anybody who just owns a Drupal website, you really need to know how to log in as the administrator. You need to know how to install a module. And I even kind of talk you through installing a module because it's pretty straightforward. But as long as you can do those things, you can work your way through this book and perfectly on page search engine optimize your Drupal site. See, now, so don't be afraid of this book,
Ben. I'm going to now expand your audience for this book because I think, you know, as a developer, I'm a Drupal developer. You know, I have clients and I build sites for them. I think that for me, this is an extremely valuable book because cool. I one of the options I offer my clients is, you know, I call it a search engine optimization option where I will go through and I will do node words and page titles and global redirect global redirect I do regardless on all sites, but I will start adding these additional modules and spend a few hours with the client and, you know, tweaking them out the right way. But, for someone like me who does that already, being able to add the keyword research portion of it, and as well as the metrics portion of it, that's kind of a big deal for me. That's something that I can go to my clients with and say, you know, here's an additional thing I can offer you.
Yeah.
And I kind of know what I'm talking about now.
Sure. Well, so, you can say, hey, you know what? The guy that, you know, that has put the research in and written this book on doing Drupal SEO, I follow the same techniques that he does. These are the best practices. These are the closely guarded tricks of the trade have now been revealed, and we know exactly how to perfectly search engine optimize a Drupal website. That's huge. I mean, that gives you a lot of credibility. And, you know, like I said, my goal is to make Drupal the best platform on the planet for SEO. If we can do that, if anytime somebody's thinking to themselves, I need a website, I want to use a content management system, and SEO is really important to me, then it'll be no question. You've got to get Drupal.
Well, I think no secret, I really enjoyed the book. And Pact, your publisher, has given me two copies to give away.
Oh, Pact rocks.
Yes. So, if you'd like to enter to win, a copy of the book, you can go to DrupalEasy.com and on the, page for this particular podcast, leave a comment and just say you'd like to win a copy. If you don't want to leave a public comment, by all means, just go to our contact page and send us an email, and we'll put you in the drawing, and in a couple of weeks, we'll announce the winners and get the books out to you. So, Ben, you can be found at Volacci.com, which is VOLACCI.com, as well on Twitter, and that's your full name, right, Ben?
Yep, Ben Finkley. That's BenFinklea on Twitter.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not one of these guys who sits on Twitter all day long, but I do try to log in a couple times a day. And if you have any SEO questions or anything like that, I'm happy to help you out on Twitter. It's we each pointed in the right direction.
And you actually do an SEO podcast as well.
Oh, man, I knew you were doing that. Oh, ouch. Twist the knife a little bit.
If anything, that was said so that you start doing some more. Because I listened to them all and I got a lot out of it. So
good. Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. When I started writing the book, I stopped doing the podcast because it's really time consuming to write a book. I encourage everybody to do it at least once, and it's great. But yeah, now that it's out, I have no excuse, and I need to start back up the podcast.
That's a great resource for Drupal developers.
Yeah, I really need to. Thank you for saying that. I feel properly on it.
All right, so we'll look forward to your next podcast in the next week.
It's been like exactly 1 year, so it's a good time to start it back up.
Was it a year? I thought you did one around DrupalCon DC.
Oh, we did, didn't we? Oh,
yeah, you got a few months before it's a year.
Awesome, great.
You want to go on a limb and give us a date right now for the next podcast?
Oh my gosh.
No. I'm just
kidding. Okay. All right. Here it is. All right. Friday of next week.
All right. There you go.
All right. That gives me,
whatever. Don't say what today's date is.
Get it done.
Yeah. Don't say what today's date is. Otherwise it'll make that an absolute date. Right now it's a relative date.
Oh yeah. But does this podcast come out? See, I might have bought myself another week or something.
Exactly. It's, you know. However many weeks you need, you let me know, and I'll delay this podcast.
Sounds good. Hey, I might need to interview you.
Hey, so thank you very much. You can find out if you want to check out some of the links that we talked about, which there weren't a whole lot, but I'll put some links in the show notes on DrupalEasy.com. By all means, follow us on Twitter as well, at DrupalEasy. We do daily quick tips, and whenever we do book giveaways, actually we're calling them bookaways now. We invented that term on the last podcast.
Did you register that domain?
No, I have to do that.
Oh. I know. All right, go grab it.
So now there's two reasons for me not to release this podcast right away. but also on our Twitter feed, that's usually the first place where we post new stuff. Whether it's workshops that we have going on or bookaways or whatever. So that's it. That's all we got. Ben, thanks a lot for your time today.
Great. All right. Thanks, Michael. God bless.
Bye-bye.